Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Disentangling from Emotionally Immature People. Avoid emotional traps, stand up for yourself, and transform your relationships as an adult child of emotionally immature parents. By Lindsay C. Gibson, PsyD. Narrated by Rachel Perry. Publisher's note. This audiobook contains writing prompts. Please have a journal or note-taking device available while you listen to this book. All stories in this book have permission to be used and are heavily disguised to preserve anonymity. In many cases, details have been combined to create composite accounts. Names and identifiable details have all been changed, so any resemblance to real people is purely coincidental. This work in no way should be construed as a form of psychotherapy. Its purpose is educational only, and it's designed for the entertainment purposes of increasing self-knowledge and the understanding of people. The ideas in this work are based on psychological insights and clinical observation and represent the theories of the author from a career as a psychotherapist. Readers are responsible for seeking professional therapeutic help as needed, and the author and publisher make no representation of this work as a substitute for psychotherapy or clinical consultation. Introduction. You have something inside you that knows what is right and healthy for you, and what isn't, even if you lack the words or concepts to explain why. This internal sensing system tells you, through emotional and physical warning signals, when something is wrong or you're being mistreated. Since childhood, this wordless center in you has recorded the truth of your experiences in its language of memories, emotions, and symptoms. Now's your chance to decipher it. It's been amazing to me how instantly my readers have resonated with the phenomena of what it's like to be an adult child of emotionally immature parents, ACEIP, and to have to deal with emotionally immature people, EIPs, in general. It was as if they had had a piecemeal awareness of what was going on, but hadn't yet conceptualized what they knew. They were missing the theoretical framework that could help them consolidate and finally understand the relational experiences they had lived through. In this book, we're going to give your implicit knowledge a voice. As you read, you will find out what your feelings were trying to tell you, as pieces of your experience click into meaningful place. These feelings will no longer silently burden you. They will become conscious, understandable experiences you can grow from. You will have gained objectivity and room to think. You also will be able to reconsider self-protective childhood behaviors you may have learned to avoid conflict and reassess how you want to handle emotionally immature, EI, pressures from now on. You may have adapted to EIPs in your early life, but once you become aware of their predictable dynamics, you can change your approach and emotionally protect yourself. You are not duty-bound to remain entangled with them. You don't have to keep following their directions, nor do you have to feel guilty for changing course. You can decide what's best for you. This is the fourth book in a series that began with Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. The structure of this book is based on the kinds of questions that repeatedly come up in my therapy and life coaching sessions with clients who are dealing with EIPs in general, and especially with entanglements with EI parents. Throughout the book, I will use EIP, EIPs, for any emotionally immature person or people, and will specify references to EI parents separately. Please use this book as a kind of handbook in which you look up answers to issues that concern you the most. Feel free to jump in wherever you want. Scan the table of contents or index to see what catches your eye to work on. With this book, you will learn to build self-confidence, set boundaries, and establish a more empowered relationship with EIPs in your life. My hope for you is that this book will spark realizations that will explain you to yourself. I'm going to try to put into words what you may already know, what you've sensed but haven't articulated, while giving you ideas for how to improve your approach to life and relationships, not just with EIPs, but with everyone. Hopefully, you will gain transformative self-knowledge and insight, which are essential catalysts for positive change. Our goal together is to help you disentangle yourself from other people's unfair expectations and emotional traps. Our work will support your individual identity and reconnect you with that lively, interesting self of yours. Along the way, I'll contrast emotional immaturity with emotional maturity, so you'll see what each is like. When I mention emotional maturity, keep in mind that a person can have more or less of it. That's why I refer to people as being adequately or sufficiently emotionally mature. Maturity is not an endpoint achievement, but a work in progress, a lifelong creation. This book is divided into 5 parts. In parts 1 and 2, you'll learn about emotional immaturity and maturity, what motivates EIPs, and how EIPs impact your life. Part 3 will show you the importance of stepping back to reposition your relationships with EIPs and to reevaluate how much energy you want to give them. In Part 4, you will learn how to change those self-defeating beliefs you internalized from people who told you what to do and how to be. Finally, in Part 5, we'll explore solutions to the thorniest dilemmas that come up both internally and in your relationships with EIPs. In addition to strategies for dealing with EIPs and their impact on your life, you'll find reflection and discovery sections in each chapter. These contemplative exercises will move you deeper into self-discovery and help you become more self-confident, self-attuned, and clear about your goals as you chart a new course in life. Each chapter ends with a helpful tip, a little reminder to nudge you in the right direction. As mentioned in the publishing credits, this book is not psychotherapy and is surely not a substitute for therapy. Please monitor your reactions to what you're reading so that you can avoid feeling overwhelmed or triggered. Be sure to seek therapy and support as needed. The optimal use of this book would be for you and your therapist to use it as a supplement to your therapy. If you so choose, EIPs can be a part of your life, but they shouldn't be the main focus of your life. They may insist on being center stage. Their immaturity demands it. But you don't have to agree to be their willing audience. EIPs can set you on a life course of attending to other people's demands at the cost of your emotional health. You can decide any time that this pattern is not for you and change direction instead. Contrary to their objections, being true to yourself is not the same thing as being unfair to them. Whether you identify as an ACEIP yourself, or are a therapist interested in helping ACEIPs, or both. You can use this book to understand what ACEIPs go through and how it shapes their responses to life. You will learn both practical tips and deeper strategies that will help support your or your client's emotional needs and personal individuation. I hope you come away from this book with a deeper appreciation of your emotional gifts and sacred individuality, while seeing your strengths with new accuracy. I hope you realize that it's not just your basic needs that are important, but your preferences as well. Your preferences form the basis of your unique individuality and deserve your respect and protection. Instead of devoting your energies to pleasing and placating EIPs, you can change course to be more in alignment with who you are. Are you ready for your course correction? I'm ready to bring you all I know. Part 1. Why EIPs are the way they are. 1. How would I know if someone was emotionally immature? Hallmark traits of emotional immaturity. Emotional immaturity encompasses a wide range of personality styles. People can be very different, yet still show the traits of emotional immaturity. This syndrome is not a type of mental illness, and ordinary, normal people may show its signs. People with psychiatric diagnoses often have underlying immaturity, but not all EIPs qualify for a psychiatric diagnosis. A person's EI traits become especially noticeable when stress increases or relationships become more intimate. Emotional immaturity is easier to recognize if you focus on the basics. See Appendix A for a summary of EI features. Although emotional immaturity exists on a continuum of severity, the following 5 characteristics are foundational in all EIPs, independent of their personality type or level of functioning. Egocentrism is the basis of the EIP's orientation toward life. Like young children, they primarily view the world through their own self-preoccupations and swiftly entangle you in their expectations. With such a self-centered approach, EIPs have limited empathy for others. They don't put themselves in other people's shoes, nor imagine their inner experience. While they may be intelligent and socially skilled, they don't feel for other people so much as sense advantage and opposition. This is why an EIP can be an admired or powerful figure in society, yet still have trouble relating to other people in an adequately mature way. Although EIPs may be plenty smart, they avoid self-reflection. Self-justifying and often self-righteous, they rarely question themselves. They focus on their immediate emotions and desires, seemingly oblivious to how they're impacting others or even their own future. Instead of reflecting on their behavior, they get defensive and double down on their own position if someone gets upset with them. When it comes to getting close to other people, EIPs pull back from emotional intimacy. They have a hard time accepting heartfelt emotion from others, and certainly have trouble giving it. They may seem highly emotional when they blow up or lose emotional control, but that's not the same as emotional intimacy. Emotional intimacy occurs between two people who share and process emotional information with each other, getting to know one another at a deep level. This process need not even be in words. It can be the sense one feels that the other person gets you and can connect with you in a deeply authentic way. In contrast, EIPs are more likely to become defensive, evasive, or belligerent when others, including their children, try to relate to them with emotional openness and honesty. You can imagine the negative effect this kind of response has on a young child seeking connection. In their approach to the world, EIPs use affective realism, defining reality as what they feel it to be. Their psychological coping mechanisms are immature and simplistic, especially as they deny, dismiss, or distort any reality they don't like. Their lack of rational objectivity means that it's nearly impossible to reason with them once their emotions take hold. Now, let's look at some additional characteristics. Some EIPs are extroverted and dominant, while others are more introverted, passive, and dependent. But whatever their style, EIPs tend to be rigid, superficial, rather shallow personalities. They often express themselves in platitudes or cliched soundbites that are lacking in real thought. They are not well integrated psychologically, meaning that conflicting aspects of their personality coexist with no awareness of contradiction. They can say one thing and do another with no embarrassment because they don't notice the mismatch. They focus on the immediate part of a situation, not its whole meaning. Emotionally, they live in the present moment, blurting the first thing that comes to mind, and reacting with no regard for the long-term effects of their impulsivity. Their high reactivity also means they are easily overwhelmed, making any problem feel like an emergency to them. EIPs think in simplistic, literal, black and white terms. Logic tends to be used mostly as an opportunistic weapon, not as an essential determinant of their thinking. They typically oversimplify complex topics in ways that make it hard to reason with them. Actively dominant EIPs overrun other people's ideas and boundaries. Many are very status and role conscious, expecting others to keep to their assigned roles. Even a more passive and acquiescent EIP won't show much empathy or interest in your life. Your subjective experience just doesn't register with them. They expect you to mirror their moods. If they're happy or upset, you should be too. EIPs jump to conclusions and easily take offense, making it extremely hard, if not impossible, to talk out problems and disagreements. In conversation, they don't listen well because, like children, they are always vying for center stage. When communicating, they are set on broadcast rather than receive. They have little curiosity for your viewpoint and feel affronted and unloved if you don't do what they want. More dominant EIPs have low stress tolerance, tend to be impatient, and pressure others to give them what they want. They expect their relationships to revolve around their reactive emotions, and they relate primarily through pronouncements, controls, and demands. Impatience plus egocentrism means that they take things personally and blame everything on other people. EIPs also can be irrationally stubborn, with hair-triggered offensiveness toward anything that threatens their beliefs or self-esteem. They are prone to meltdowns, making people around them feel rushed, criticized, and fearful of upsetting them further. The more passive EIPs may not be as flamboyant emotionally, but underneath their relatively calm demeanor lurks an implacable egocentrism concerning their agendas and motivations. In close relationships, EIPs expect others to stabilize them emotionally and prop up their self-esteem. The burden of maintaining peace in the relationship usually falls to the other person, because EIPs don't do the emotional work necessary to keep relationships on an even keel. Insensitive to others' feelings, they think that love means giving blanket approval and letting them do whatever they want. Like a young child, an EIP gains power by distressing others until they capitulate. After funneling your attention into an EIP, you'll probably come away feeling depleted and drained of energy. Even the quieter EIPs are instinctively emotionally coercive, controlling you with guilt, fear, shame, or self-doubt. Unless you give in, they will peg you as bad or untrustworthy. And if you do something they don't like, they will confide in other people against you, rather than dealing with you directly. Whether EIPs demand your attention and self-sacrifice, or quietly expect you to prop them up, they have a hard time accepting love. When you act lovingly toward them, they act as if they can't stand to let it in. With such poor receptive capacity, they are like a distressed child who won't let their parents soothe them. The closer you try to get to them, the more they pull back. This is because emotional intimacy threatens to overwhelm and disorganize them. Their fear of emotional intimacy often comes out in irritability, provocations, or conflicts that forestall closeness or vulnerability. Because EIPs project blame onto other people, you might unwittingly accept their confusing distortions and take responsibility for things that weren't your fault. Therefore, it is critically important to maintain healthy detachment and think objectively about their behavior. Let's look at some strategies and reflections that can help you identify the EIPs in your life. Strategy. Did you recognize any of those EI characteristics in the difficult people in your own life? If you like, you can go back and circle the characteristics that fit. Some EI features are less apparent in more introverted or passive EIPs. So in trying to determine if someone fits the EI mold, you might try focusing more on their underlying motivations and view of the world than on overt behaviors. Your next step is to consider if someone's emotional immaturity has affected your self-image and life choices. Emotional immaturity has an interactional impact, becoming most obvious in relationships where your self-worth is at stake. As we'll see later, the way EIPs protect themselves comes at a cost to others. Reflection and discovery. Think of a person who you think might be emotionally immature. How do you feel about considering this person emotionally immature? For instance, do you feel disloyal or unfair, or find it to be a relief? Write down your feelings about this so you have a baseline for later. How have this person's EI traits affected your confidence and sense of lovability? Which EI characteristics have been the hardest for you to deal with? Tip. Because EIPs seem so sure of themselves, their rigid attitudes can suggest strength, passion, or moral righteousness. Their insistence on being right can intimidate you into allowing them to dominate you. In many interactions, you may reflexively doubt yourself when they get threatened and defensive. Understanding these dynamics allows you to not fall under their spell. Your knowledge of them is your power. Awareness of emotional immaturity keeps you informed and self-possessed when you have to deal with any difficult person who tries to take you over. 2. How can my grown-up parents be immature? Understanding emotional immaturity. Tanya had a hard time thinking of her parents as emotionally immature. When I gently suggested it, she looked like she thought a lightning bolt might cleave my office at any moment. She stared at me in disbelief. How could they be immature? They ran their own business. They sent us all to college. I know they love me, and they took good care of us when we were sick. They are the most moral people I know. I brought up emotional immaturity only when I could see that Tanya wasn't going to find answers to the problems she was seeing me for, without considering this alternate understanding of her parents. Tanya was dubious, but she warily followed my reasoning on why I thought her parents seemed emotionally immature. It would be many weeks before Tanya was willing to explore her parents' immaturity and the suffering it had caused her. I didn't pressure her because I know how preposterous it can seem to think of your parents as less mature than yourself. Tanya and I first needed to agree on what the problem was before we tried to solve it together. In contrast to Tanya, some clients are relieved to have a name for their parents' behavior. Everyone's different. But if parental immaturity is part of the picture for someone, I believe it has to be addressed. Emotionally immature parents sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? How could the gods of your early childhood not be mature? They were everything you knew about grown-ups. You were sheltered by them in a world entirely of their making. You modeled yourself after them, right down to your facial expressions and physical movements. For a long time, you thought they knew everything and held the sole right to judge your life. They punished you when you erred. They smiled on you when you were good. Their living example was your template for what to expect from life. You knew they loved you because they took care of you. You had no way of knowing that love is more than being cared for physically. What makes coming to terms with parental immaturity confusing is that emotional immaturity can coexist with other adult capabilities. Despite developmental inadequacies in some areas, other areas of an EI parent's functioning, intellectual, social, occupational, can develop well. For instance, an EI parent might be an intellectual college professor or research scientist. They might be a highly successful business person. Or the EI parent could be socially adept, well-respected, and popular in their social circles. But just because parents have grown up doesn't mean that they've matured. It's perfectly possible for you to be more emotionally mature than your parents. EI parents can be highly responsible and self-sacrificing when it comes to putting bread on the table and to minding children's physical needs. Additionally, EI parents can be embedded in communities of like-minded people who support their values and behaviors. Their maturity would never be questioned because they fit in with the larger group's values and are appreciated by their peers and neighbors. This was the case with Tanya's parents, who were admired in their community, appeared to put family first, and gave time and money to their church. But
sample complete. Ready to continue?